Hi guys, I'm going to be really honest with you. I've tried to record this intro a lot of times in the last kind of hour or so. So this is the only take I'm going to use of this intro. So if I fuck it up, bear with me. Basically, this episode you're about to listen to is a re-upload from an episode I did in March 2023. The reason for it being uploaded today and being so prominent in your newsfeed and whatever else is because of an event that the band who you're about to listen to have got coming up, and I think it's really important. I want to shine a light on it, and that's basically the reason why it's here. It is the event that Beyond Extinction are putting together. It's the 17th of August 2024 at the Camden Underworld London, and it's an event that is in memory of the great Zach Scott. Zach Scott is the former guitarist of the band Beyond Extinction. He is part of the interview you're about to listen to, along with his former, now current, obviously, guitarist, Jude. And it's a fantastic conversation, just to say that straight off the bat. But the reason for this being re-uploaded, as I say, is because I want to bring people's attention to this event. All the profits from the event will be going to Young Minds, Help Musician and Calm. There is some fantastic bands playing on the bill, including Existentialist, God Eater, who are all both previous podcast guests, along with Osha, Bitterwood, Daygore, Glower and How Long You Been Driving. I think it's fantastic. They are using something to commemorate Zach's life and the music he made and the people he, you know, influenced and people he played with and things like that. I think it's really important. There is a statement that's been released by the band, which I'll just read now for you. On the 7th of August 2023, we sadly lost our brother and best friend Zachary Scott at the tender age of 20. Just over a year after his passing, we're coming together to host Never Forget Your Own, an event dedicated to commemorating and celebrating Zach's life. Just join us, for a day of bands that Zach either toured with or toured closely with, who've created some of the cherished memories with Zach. This event serves as a meaningful fundraiser for vital charities, aiming to raise awareness and funds to support individuals grappling with their mental health challenges. Secure tickets now from theunderworldcamden.co.uk with the option to make an additional donation. For those unable to attend, we've also established a GoFundMe to help to welcome contributions. We appreciate your attention and support. I really hope that if you're anywhere near London in August, you get down to this and you support it if you can. And I want to serve this podcast I want to serve this podcast as a commemoration of Zach's life, and I want to serve this podcast as a beacon of light that Zach was and always will be to a lot of people. So I want to say rest in power to Zachary Scott, and I want to send all the love to Beyond Extinction. This is Beyond Extinction, recorded back in March 2023, with Zach Scott and Jude of Beyond Extinction on the Nevermind Poly Podcast. Thank you so much.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Nevermind Poly Podcast. My name is Matt. We are a rock and metal podcast. We chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And this week, we are chatting to the two Axe Legends. Are they called Axe Legends guitarists? Anyway,
they can be.
Zach and Jude of Beyond Extinction. How are we doing, boys?
All good, man. How are you?
All good. How are you, Judy? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. And I think the term is professional complainers from my experience.
I like that. Do you do much complaining as guitar players? What's the beef with being a guitar player? Is it just you complain a lot?
Yeah, we just have the easiest job on stage and we just like to complain about it.
fair. So yeah, I kind of obviously Zach and me, Zach and Jasper have sat down and done a previous podcast to this. So for your benefit, I apologise. Some of these maybe questions are already covered and things, but we'll try and keep it as fresh as possible. Jude, you're you're here, obviously, and you're my guinea pig again. So this will all be new to you. So it's all good.
Fantastic.
But yeah, so I kind of want to start off with the reason why we're kind of having this conversation and everything is the new EP, which is Nothing More Wretched, which is out in March. You've just announced a brand new release show, tour, mini tour and things. So kind of what's the mood in camp around the release and things like that? How are you feeling about it?
I mean, very excited, yeah.
I think to sum up in one word, it'll be relief, because this EP has been... like recorded, it's been finished for so long, and like just waiting to get it out has been such a agonizing process, but we're just glad that we've, you know, we've got two songs out now, gonna have the EP out, and we've got a date to look forward to. So just excited to finally get it out and have other people hear it instead of just us for a change.
Yeah totally. I mean, you get stuck in that chamber of just listening to your own songs like over and over and playing them live. And like, you know, it feels like by the time like you've got them out, everyone's like, oh, this new music's great. And it's like, this is not new music. This is, this feels like centuries ago we actually wrote this. I mean, we started writing it in what, October of 21. So yeah. it's been a while. But yeah, we are super looking forward to getting it out and just seeing what people think, because this is kind of a new chapter for us, so it's very exciting.
Absolutely, and that's the thing, I'm in a privileged position to have heard the EP, and it's been on heavy rotation since I've had it. And you know, to if you take it for its most basic thing that it is, it's basically a really fucking heavy record you can swing your fucking head to, you know. And you guys are, you know, not to take anything away from the other members of the band, but you two are the centerpiece of that, playing off each other with the guitar riffs, because there is some monstrous guitar tones on this, you know. And I'm basically a guy who loves heavy music, but riffs are my thing. So there is some fucking killer riffs on it. So congrats on being really good at your instruments, basically, what I'm trying to say. But are you looking forward to getting back on the road, I guess? And because you've just played a show really recently, was it at Blondie's? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah.
How was that? Because that always looks like a really fun experience from what I've seen.
Go on, Zach. I'll let you answer that one.
it was interesting because I'd never been to the venue before. So when I first went in, I didn't realize that was where the actual venue was. I thought I'd just gone into like a bar, and then you go outside and the venue's there. And the stage is literally next to the door, so I was playing in front of the door the whole time. I'd look behind me, I see the security guard standing there like looking at me. But it was a really great show, because with a venue like that, I feel like it can be really, really hit or miss, because such a kind of compact venue, it can either go so hard and everyone really enjoys it and it just goes crazy, or it's just dead. And thankfully for us, it was crazy. We had a lot of our mates come down, a lot of people came down to, and they just went hard, and it was a really fun show.
We had one crowd surfer,
we did
Jolly. And we think helped to destroy half of the decor inside the venue, because they had all these like really pretty like branches and like tree things at the side of like these really pretty like fairy lights throughout them. And just, you can just see on the video, I've just been editing it today, that was taken there, you can just see someone crowd surf and just smash into it, and half the branch like comes off, and it's just like that's the energy we want to be like causing enough damage to be like, oh man, we destroyed the venue, but not so much that we actually like get in trouble for it financially. So it was a good show, and it was actually crazy. But you know, the great thing about that is that everyone was going crazy, but in a sensible way. So none of us got sort of, you know, spin kicked in the face or anything. It was nice. We were just sort of front row seats to everyone getting the like stuff kicked out of them, but you know, in a safe distance away.
That makes perfect sense, and I think that venue lends itself to a lot of like hardcore energy, like especially like you say with the spin kicking, the fucking no barrier, and the fact that basically it's a shoebox size venue, which I'm all for shoebox size venue as a fan. I don't know how I'd feel being in a band playing, trying to play your instrument with the technical ability that you have to play, as well as being on stage and trying not to get kicked in the face. I imagine that's quite like a thing you have to kind of deal with. But yeah, we move. It's all good. You guys are super fucking young. And I don't want to make a big point of that, but you guys are super fucking young. So how did you guys get into the music that you play, and especially guitar? Because like I say, you, what are you guys, like under 22, 23, something like, you're younger than, aren't you?
Well, I'm 23 and yeah. Zach's, I don't know how old Zach is anymore.
Oh, I'm 19 and I'm the youngest. Jasper's 20.
Yeah.
Jasper's 21, Niall's 20, I think.
See, I'm nearly, well, I'm 3 months off being 30, and I've achieved nothing with my life. And you two and the rest of the band have the technical prowess to play the music you do, right? So it kind of makes me feel like shit. So I had to start a podcast to make up for it. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, of course, how did you get into the music you play? Because contrary to popular belief, not every person's first band was Cannibal Corpse. They like to think it was, but it's just not. Or maybe for Zach it might be, but you know.
It definitely wasn't. Zach, you go first. I mean, this is quite an interesting story.
I mean, for me, the first band that properly got me into like the heavy side of music was AC/DC, which is obviously a very, very far cry from the music that we make. But I mean, that band was the whole reason I started playing guitar, like when I was 14 or 15, I think, or probably younger than that. And then from that, it was just kind of into like thrash, which I stayed on for a long time. And then obviously like the natural progression into death metal and the more extreme side, which is a bit of a, it's a bit different from how a lot of people get into the kind of hardcore, deathcore, metalcore kind of scene. A lot of people came to it from like scene music and that whole MySpace era of music. But for me, it was the kind of traditional metal side of things that got me into it. And eventually I found this weird, heavy type of music.
I guess I'm kind of envious in a way, because again, I'm old as fuck. We've already established this, but like you guys like had the, you're like the generation that grew up on like Spotify and things like that, where like everything is just accessible. So like you'll go to like a show and you'll hear the band, you know, like Cannibal Corpse or Gojira or whoever just banded about, and you're like, oh cool, I'm going to go home and just stick that on my Spotify, and bang, you've got it instantly. So like, it's really like, basically, I'd like to be young again and rediscover metal, because yeah, it'd be so cool. But yeah, anyway, I'm going off topic. Jude, how did you get into music, my friend?
My one was a little bit of a stranger tale. So my earliest musical memory that I actually have is I remember waking up in the middle of the night when I was like 7 or 8, maybe even younger, and going to my dad, and he was in the study, and I remember him saying, oh, you know, son, come over here, I want to play you something. And it was, he played me a Black Sabbath cassette. And that was my first thing that I remembered music wise. And then I suppose it was kind of, my upbringing was kind of a toss up of like ABBA and like S Club 7 with like the sort of heavier stuff that my dad played, like AC/DC, Metallica and stuff like that. And then I suppose my granddad introduced me to stuff like The Prodigy and that kind of thing. And then it all just came to a head really when I was, I suppose, 14. I got into Slipknot, and that was like the first proper like metal band I got into. I was kind of listening to a few bits here and there. I had some bangers that I was listening to from like the Need for Speed Most Wanted soundtrack, and I was like, whoa, this is so heavy. I got into Slipknot, and then I suppose I just continued that journey of nu metal for a while and just saw what I got into. I got into stuff like Deftones, and that sort of set me off on a kind of a prog journey. And then it wasn't until I actually got into college when I was about 16 where my mate introduced me to Buried Tomorrow, and I just went on this massive metalcore journey where at the start I was like, you know what, I like Buried Tomorrow. There's some screams. I'm going to have to get used to them. But, you know, I'll never be into Cannibal Corpse or anything like that. It's just way too heavy, bro. Like, I could never do that. And then, you know, one thing led to another, and here I am in a death metal band. And, you know, it took me quite a while to get into deathcore, especially into like the stuff that like the rest of the guys listen to. I'm at heart, I'm still very prog. you know, with like Mastodon and Deftones and like, but then crossing over into like Meshuggah, one of my favorite bands, and that's mainly a lot of my guitar inspiration as well as Mastodon and some other bits. So, but I've slowly, really only in the last few years have I really properly gotten into like Ingested and all these amazing bands that are just super heavy and like Black Tongue. But it helps, it like, I've discovered that the cure for if you're not completely into music yet is to go on a tour of Beyond Extinction and sit in the van where they constantly play the same 10 songs over and over again. And then you eventually like it, because that's what they did with Black Tongue and Ingested and everything. And now, you know, I love it. And it's cool because I'm finding it coming into my guitar playing, which is good. So, yeah.
Amazing. And that's the thing as well. Like, there is so much, and I'm not doing hyperbole or any kind of smoke blowing or that, but there is so much potential with you guys in what you can progress and be and go on to do. So it's kind of quite interesting and nice to know that there's someone in the band who's kind of into the more proggy side, because again, like, death metal can go in so many different directions, and again, genres are sometimes a little bit like they don't always help. So I just kind of label things as heavy. When someone says, what do they sound like? They're fucking heavy as balls, you know? So yeah. Like, it's kind of nice that you could potentially go in different avenues and stuff. So that's really cool. And it kind of brings me quite nicely to a question, which is kind of a bit open-ended, but how do you boys feel about the state of heavy music in general today? And how do you think the bands can kind of push the envelope? Because I think around maybe 2 or 3 years ago, there was breakout bands, like, so the main one that always springs to my mind is Code Orange, like, who just like basically reinvented the wheel that is hardcore, you know.
Love and Code Orange.
One of my favorite fucking bands ever, and yeah, so great. And there's, you know, there's bands within like the scene, like the death metal scene, like Venom Prison, who, you know, are really smashing it and like just a fucking fireball of explosion of stuff. How do you guys kind of see the underground and generally the scene at large? What's your general feeling on it?
I think these days with kind of social media and streaming services and everything, where, like you said, like, there's so much music just like at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to pin down what the general kind of direction the scene is going in, because say like in death metal, for example, you've got all that, you've got all the American bands that are kind of bringing back that old school 90s sound. Absolutely. Like Undeath, Sanguine Sugarbog, 200 Stab Wounds, bands like that. Mm. And then you've also got bands that are taking deathcore into new directions, like Fit for an Autopsy, stuff like that. So many bands doing so many different things. I never used to think this, but I think I've kind of come around to the idea of it, is that metal, kind of extreme metal in general, is becoming very kind of... The lines between genres are getting blurred a lot. Mm. Because you know, you get bands like Black Tongue, where it's like they started off as a beatdown band, then they were like a more traditional deathcore band, and then they released Nadir, and it's like, what do you even call that? You know, it's like, it doesn't have a label, it's just good.
Yeah,
and absolutely. That's what I feel like a lot of bands are doing, is they're just kind of dropping the genre, dropping the labels, because there's so many influences you can take with how obviously like streaming services work. It's just about making good music and not necessarily making deathcore or tech death or whatever.
And that kind of just made me think, actually, you only have to look at someone like Zeal and Ardor, who, you know, just mashed up two genres that nobody would have ever put together and made three fucking fantastic records out of the back of, you know, like, so like you say, the lines are definitely being blurred, if not aren't there anymore. How are you feeling, Jude, about the whole thing?
I mean, pretty much what Zach said. I actually think it's great, because a lot of the problems that kind of heavy music had even sort of 10 years ago was that it was very much you're either a deathcore fan or you're a death metal fan, and you know, it was kind of like it was difficult to sort of, I mean, obviously people like both, but it was, there was a lot more sort of elitism. Whereas nowadays I feel like it's kind of impossible to be elitist, because you know, what can you even call the latest music? I mean, like take Whitechapel, for instance, like their new stuff, incredibly proggy. You know, I had to double take sometimes, because I, you know, new Whitechapel song comes on and I go, what Tool song is this? Because there's a cool bass bit at the start or something like that, you know. And so, and like Zach said as well, Fit for an Autopsy, again, fantastic bands that are really, I think, taking a lot of inspiration from bands like Gojira, which is always a good thing, in my view. So I think it's good, really. I think it's, I'm all for sort of change and for things being sort of weird and blurred, because, again, I come from that kind of prog world where, I mean, hell, anything goes. You can have like a 22 minute long song with everything from death metal to like acoustic in it, and it's great, you know. So yeah, and I think it kind of crosses over into our writing quite a bit, because you know, you'll hear on the EP, you know, we've got stuff like Eyes of God, which is more of a sort of black and death metal type tune, and then you'll have songs like Plague Monarch, which at the start of it is very much, you know, Meshuggah worship. And you know, it's good, because the minute you take the rule book and kind of throw out the window, as long as you're not like being silly, I think it's really good, because you stop worrying about like, oh, is that riff, you know, that riff sounds really cool, but it doesn't sort of, it's not in, supposed to be in this genre. It's like, no, fuck that, like just put it in, like if it sounds good and it works, like do it. And I think that's kind of what we're focusing on songwriting from now on. It's basically just, let's just play a riff, and if it sounds cool, great. If we all like it, great. Because it's so hard for us all as a band to find music that we sort of, to write music, in fact, that we all sort of agree on and we all think, yeah, this is perfect. Which is why when we actually find like riffs and ideas at work, we're like, okay, this is good. This is new music, because it has to kind of hit that sweet spot. And I honestly think, like, not wanting to speak too far ahead, but I honestly think we're always going to be changing. We're always going to be evolving, because we can't really help it. That's just our nature of our band, and our sort of music is so varied that we can't help but just keep inventing and creating, really. Absolutely. Sorry, I've rambled.
No, absolutely. It's, I love it. And you mentioned Whitechapel, and that, it's a brilliant example of what can be done with longevity. You know, they started out writing, you know, This Is Exile and those kind of records, really horrible death metal, deathcore, whatever you want to label it. And now they're, you know, they're headlining a stage of Bloodstock, you know, and it's like how far that's come, but yet they've not toned down anything. They've not let anything go. Yeah, there's not as much screaming on it, but it's still heavy as fucking balls. You know, like if the mainstream listener will say that Slipknot is too heavy for them, that's not disrespecting Slipknot, but you know, like that's too heavy for them, then fucking hell, you know, there's a whole depth of depravity that you can go into when it comes to metal. So yeah, it's really, really inspiring to hear you guys talk about it, because like I say, the world needs young, angry people and angry musicians. You know, when the world is going to shit, I need a soundtrack, and this is a beautiful soundtrack to that.
Come to us for that. We're great at that. We're all miserable. We'll write miserable music.
Absolutely. So the debut EP got a lot of love from the likes of Krang, Distorted Sound, and things like that. Did that kind of affect the writing process of this one? Did you have that in the back of your mind, or was it just business as usual and you're just on to the next thing?
Zach, do you want to start?
I mean, for me, I didn't even think about it like at all. Like, for me, like the writing process for Nothing More Wretched was just about making music that we all liked and we all thought was good. Like we sat in the kind of pre-writing stage. We kind of all sat down and talked about exactly what we want to do, exactly what sound we want, so that when we're all writing our parts and doing stuff like that, we all have a kind of collective vision of what the sound's going to be. Mm. And at least for me, the last EP and the response it got wasn't too much of a factor. It was just more of a musical thing. It was just like the natural progression of the sound that we had on the first EP is to go heavier, to go darker, to go more doomy, more deathcore. Like it didn't really factor into it, but that obviously after writing it, it's, you kind of look back on it as a, on both EPs and kind of compare them. It's like, it's not a departure, but kind of a building on it. But
yeah,
some people might take it as a departure. You don't know until it's out.
I take it as a step up. And I said this on the unreleased previous episode we've done. It's a step up in every sense of the word. The riffs are heavier. The fucking vocals are better, you know, like, and it's just collectively, it just sounds more gnarly. And I didn't think that could be possible, really, truthfully. But, you know, there we are. But yeah, it's super awesome. But
I mean, I was just going to say, much exactly what Zach said. Like, we didn't really think about it because we started, we never really stopped writing, you know, and there really truly never is business as usual with us. I mean, we're always doing something different and our lives have changed so much since we started doing those writing sessions for Fatal Flaws, where, you know, we started that over lockdown where we literally just turned up at Jasper's house and sat in his summer house and just played some riffs. Whereas now we've got sort of, you know, we each live in different places, you know, Jasper still lives in Essex, the rest of us live in London, and you know, we do things differently now, but hopefully for the better. But yeah, I suppose the thing for us is that we never look back too much. You know, we go, okay, great, we got some really good feedback from the Fatal Flaws, let's take that and go further, let's you know, understand that we're onto something, but let's push it harder. And I suppose the key for us is just never resting, truly, never going, oh, okay, we wrote a good EP, people enjoyed it, let's kick your feet up and let's go on holiday. You know, it's like, no, let's get writing again. Let's push it further. Let's see, now that those people know who we are, let's give them something really to sort of go on about, which is what I hope we've done, because, you know, we put a lot of hard work and effort into the EP, and I feel like, and I'm sure Zach will agree, it's come out extremely well. You know, we're already writing further material and back on it, because, you know, nothing can stop us, really.
Absolutely. And there's nothing more dangerous and more brilliant than a band on the back of a hot streak. You know, in my mind, it's a 1-2 home run. You know, you know whether you do another EP after this or you do an album, whatever it may be, you know, it's only building on your previous success. So it's really, really good. Obviously, we spoke a little bit about the release tour that's happening, making stops at London, Norwich, big up London, but also big up Norwich, being where I'm from, hometown show in Southend, Manchester and Hull. I know that you guys, obviously me, Jasper and Zach had a previous conversation, you guys are very hands-on in terms of booking shows and the more business, quote-unquote, aspect of the band. How do you find that in comparison to just being a guitarist in the band and obviously playing and performing?
I suppose where we do as much as possible ourselves, you kind of don't really notice it, because for me, being in the band is not about turning up and playing guitar. It's about, you know, the whole process. I mean, we're not on a label. We're not got management. We just have a Jasper, and he does, you know, basically all of our planning and booking and handles that kind of stuff, which is amazing because we'd certainly be a lot further behind without him. You know, we're very fortunate to know some very nice people in the industry as well. Our good friend Jazz, who works at Noise Cartel, she's always been really, really, yeah, she's always been really good to us. So we're lucky in that sense. But yeah, I mean, it's like we all have different roles in the band to just keep it running. It's like you know, the fastest, most intense treadmill ever. And if you twist your ankle, you're going into the shark infested waters behind it. You know, there's no slowing down. There's no stopping. It's just, you have to just keep doing it. But I mean, you know, I've done everything, you know, from recently I just did designing the CDs that we are going to be releasing as merch with the EP. And sort of video editing and photo editing and stuff like that. Zach does a lot of the kind of like production stuff, demoing stuff, sorting out all of our like IEM system for like live rig. So we all kind of have a hands-on approach to the band because being able to do as much as possible yourselves is just, it's only an advantage because you don't have to ask questions. You don't have to hold yourself back. You just go, right, we know what we're doing. We know how to work it and we are self-reliant. So it means that when we get to a gig, we are literally ready to play. There's no, you know, asking other bands if we can borrow stuff. No, we have everything. We have spares. We're organized. I just think you can't not be, really. So, yeah.
I love that. How about you, Zach? Any thoughts or feelings?
Yeah, I mean, just echoing that same kind of sentiment, like just trying to run it as much like a machine as possible without obviously it becoming like a job.
Of course.
Like, you know, we all, like Jude said, we all have different kind of roles in the band beyond just being a musician. And it, number one, it helps because there's not other people taking money out of your pocket. So yeah, that's more money going back into the band because, you know, for merch, for equipment, for whatever. And it's just, it's good because I feel like in this day and age, there's a lot of bands that don't want to do things themselves and they don't think they can do it. They think they need a manager or need a booking agent or need whatever, and they don't. But a lot, because most bands do have those things, everyone thinks they need it, and then they're shelling out money where they don't need to. And it, you know, it helps for, as a musician, as a person wanting to work in the music industry, having that kind of those, working on those skills of like navigating the industry and working with people representing your band, it's good for just, you know, learning how to make your way in the mess that is the music industry.
I mean, last year, we even went as far as doing our own music video completely just by ourselves. I mean, literally near the start of last year, me and a film friend, my mate Dylan, who did film at uni, we just sort of, I sort of had an idea of wanting to do a music video. And I just thought, how far can we go with effectively zero budget? And the result of that was that we filmed for about 9 months, which was the Gravedigger music video, which has just come out.
Which is fantastic as well.
Thank you. And we literally just spent 9 months going to different locations around Essex with volunteers and friends and just filming that. And I think we spent a grand total of about 50 quid, and that was mainly bags of crisps and stuff like that. So, you know, I think the more that bands can learn to do themselves, the better. You know, I'm not saying, some things you have to pay for if you want a good result, unless you are a graphic designer or an artist. Like, you should probably get someone to do a really cool cover art if you want that. But I think be as self-reliant as possible, because it will just, you never know until you're in that band what skills of yours you're actually going to need. And you know, it's actually surprising how much you can contribute if you know photography or production or videography or anything like that, because you know, it's not just about the music, it's visual as well. Half of it is visual, you know, and it's that production, it's the marketing, it's everything really. So it is kind of like a business. Just without the money.
but that's the thing as well. I think if you've managed to propel yourselves to where you are now, and you continue to sustain yourself and you keep going and going and going, like one of two things will happen. You'll get to a point where you can't, you just need a helping hand. You're like, right, we've reached this level. Okay, the next step is to realistically get a manager, get the label, and then propel you even further. Or the other thing is saying, well, actually, we've got this far on our own. We don't need you, but we want you to help. And then, you know, and then they're kind of almost working for you in that respect and with you, rather than the other way around, where, like you say, some bands will not have the skill set you guys have, in the sense of they'll need to get all those things. And that's fine. But those things, that thing costs money, and that all eats back into the quote unquote business, which is kind of a darker subject to talk about when it comes to bands. But it's a reality. You know, I always try and say to people when they say, oh, my favorite band was split up. And I'm like, okay, but did you buy a t-shirt at their show? Did you like go out and buy a physical CD? Because that's what it is. That's the bottom line of it. You know, no one's going to give people money for just turning up and doing their thing. You know, it doesn't work like that anymore, unfortunately. So, yeah, you need to support your favorite bands. So it is really important. So on a kind of lighter topic, Zach, we asked this in the previous question, so it'd be quite nice to, because we've got Jude, who's a bit more of got an eclectic music taste, I feel. I'm going to ask you for a three-band bill. So I want a band each from you. So there's Beyond Extinction, and then one other band from each of you on your dream lineup. You don't have to agree on the band you put in there. So, and you can have it either headliner, middle, or bottom, wherever you decide to put yourself. So, for example, we've had... I can't think of anyone on the top of my head who we had on, but like, I don't know, we have like As December Falls, the pop punk band, being like Metallica is like second in support, followed by like fucking, I don't know, Iron Maiden as the opener. It can be whatever you want it to be. So who would you pick as a dream band to have on a three-band bill?
Go on, Zach, you go first. You've already done this question.
Yeah.
Remember.
I mean, the one other one would be Acacia Strain, hands down.
Absolutely.
You know it. It just, there's, I don't need to explain myself there.
Absolutely. Just fucking great band. What are you saying, Jude?
It's really difficult. Because if it was like a dream, like that was going on like in my sleep and I could just watch it.
Which it is. I'm giving you infinite money to have whoever you want. Like...
you see, if it, okay. So if it was like an actual, like we were performing and it was like the one that had to like make sense and it was going to be like a touring thing, then it would be Meshuggah, hands down, because they are absolutely just from another planet. And to be able to open for them would just be, you know, I'd get on my knees and kiss the floor if they sort of walked past. But then if it was my dream and it was my own thing, then Sleep Token, hands down, because I don't shut up about Sleep Token. They are just absolutely world-class musicians, incredible performers, and to just be on the same bill would be incredible. It would never happen because we are very, very different, Sleep Token, musically, but it's nice to dream.
But you know what? You say that. I'm all for mixed band bills. Like, I'm all for it because, you know, having a 3-4 like deathcore bill is all well and good, but you're only preaching to the choir at that point, you know. Put you guys in as direct support for Sleep Token. Like, there's going to be a lot of people who are like, the fuck? but there'll be like three or four people in that crowd who go, fuck yeah, that was awesome, you know, because my second ever show I went to go and see when I was 14, 15 was Trivium, right? And I love Trivium. That was a great show. But Whitechapel were direct support. And I remember hearing The Darkest Day of Man by Whitechapel and fucking shitting my pants at how heavy that fucking guitars were. And it was like, I'm terrified, but also intrigued. So it works both ways. It always works.
I think it works better if it's like a heavier band headlining. A lighter band headlining with a heavier support.
Yeah.
Because you get those people who are just like, if you swap it and it's like a really heavy support and a soft open, you just get people who are like, like they just want the show to start. They're just like, I'm not here for this. I want heavy, bro. But no, I saw Trivium the other night, actually.
Amazing. And
Malev and Heaven Shall Burn opened, and it was absolutely sick. It was probably one of the better concerts I've been to in a while. Because you kind of get a weird, I don't know, you kind of get, I don't know if Zach's going to agree with me here, but you kind of, when you're doing the stuff that we're doing, and we're not even at a big level yet touring or anything, but because we play shows quite often, when I go to a concert now, unless it's like someone I absolutely am dying to see and I'm in the pit and I'm at the front, I just kind of, I'm just there. I'm just like, man, I just wish I was on the stage. You just get some weird, like, it just doesn't do it for you anymore. Just watching. It's like, I want to be up there.
That's fair. Love that. So I have another question for you. And so basically, when I'm a big famous podcaster, which I'm clearly going to be, that is a joke. That is satire, everybody. Don't come for me. Some people don't know when I'm satiring. That's satire. I'm going to make a Nevermind Polly podcast festival. Not sure. Working title. Anyway, I'm going to invite every band who's ever been on this podcast to come on. And basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to curate the perfect rider. So on my rider already, I've got a PlayStation/Xbox, white wine, sushi, and I'm pretty sure there was narcotics of some description. I think it was weed. I'm not sure if that made the edit or not, but I'm pretty sure Adam from Polo was like, yeah, we need some weed on there. He's like, can I say that? I was like, say whatever. I've said it again, so it's fine. So because you're a pair, you can add one thing each to the rider, and it could be anything you like.
Be quite hard to eat a PlayStation, wouldn't it?
Well, that's true. It doesn't always have to be food there. That's the thing. But
See, I'm the worst person to ask because I don't really need much when I'm in a venue. I just need a water and that's it. Or, you know what? I'd have a crisp crate of apple and mango J2O chilled to like that perfect temperature.
Yeah. I mean, everybody needs substance. You've only got white wine to drink and sushi to eat. So J2O is quite a nice addition. I love that.
And I suppose if we're only adding one thing, then there's going to be beer and weed on the rider anyway. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'll just have something for straight edge me.
Yeah.
I'll drink my J2O and have a little gnaw on the PlayStation if I get hungry.
How about you, Zach?
I said it last time, I'll say it again. B&H Blue. Just
oh yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
That's because, you know, that'll keep me going. Like sushi, if there's vegetarian sushi involved in that sushi, that'll keep me going. There's beer and weed, that'll keep me going. Ciggies, that's my only addition.
You'll never see him in the building.
Yeah, that's bad. 5 minutes before you're meant to hit the stage and you're still having a cigarette outside. Come on, we need to play guitar. Needs to be in it out. So the EP is either out now or coming out. I'm not unsure when this podcast is going out because I'm fucking rubbish at scheduling. But the tour is definitely happening in March because that's out there in the universe. So that's happening. Have I missed anything? Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to add at the end before we let you rock and roll out of here?
I don't think so.
I mean, we'll be doing like playthroughs and stuff once the EP's out. We'll be doing Jasper's got like a vocal one take he's going to be releasing soon. We'll definitely be doing something like a guitar or a drum playthrough, because we haven't done too many of them and they're just fun to watch. So yeah, stay tuned for that, really. And I mean, just stay tuned in general, because we won't be quiet for long. Mm. You know, we may be riding the wave soon, but we'll be writing continuously and very busy, because we're not legally allowed to relax at all. We have to we have to be on it. So yeah, you won't be we won't be quiet for that long. So yeah, just stay tuned.
For sure. And a final question to you both is, what is the best thing about being in Beyond Extinction?
There is literally nothing better than playing.
I thought you were going to say there's literally nothing. I was like, wow.
No.
And that... end podcast there.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. There's nothing better there. Then just playing like just the fattest riff of all time that you've written, and then looking out into the crowd and just seeing people enjoying it the same way that I enjoy my favorite bands. So like seeing people, you know, throwing punches and kicks in the pit, seeing them do what I do at the shows that I go to, and I'm like, oh damn, they're doing that for like us. That's just it's a great feeling.
I love that. How about you, Jude?
More or less the same, to be honest. I think just hearing people talk fondly of our band, whether that's people who've just come to a show and they just said, you know, it was a really great show, or just, you know, complimenting the riffs or just saying how heavy things were, it just reminds us that, you know, we do have something quite special, and that we do sometimes need to look back and go, you know what, we actually did a really good job. You know, we should remember that we do have very loyal fans, and that, you know, sometimes we forget that we're not all still sort of 15, 16, 17 and sort of playing the sort of you know, shittiest pub in the town every, you know, Friday night, you know. Yeah, I suppose it's just that feeling of people enjoying our music, because, you know, we do it because it's fun. We do it because we want to do it. And then we get the added bonus of, you know, people really enjoy it. So yeah, I just hope that continues with the EP. I'm really excited to see people's reactions to it, because, you know, it's interesting as well to just see people having the same reactions to certain riffs as we did when we wrote them. So you just look out into the audience and just see someone like, whoa.
Yeah,
I thought that when I wrote that as well. Yeah, I thought that when Zach presented to me. So it's quite funny, really. So yeah, just more of that would be amazing.
Lovely stuff. Absolutely brilliant. Guys, thank you so much for your time. Nothing More Wretched is either out now or coming out very soon. The tour is sold out. You're too late. You're already too late to get the tickets. They're fucking sold it all out. No, obviously, go and check the socials and things. Thank you so much, boys. And apologies for the previous podcast that was a total fucking nightmare because of Zoom.
So good, man.
But yeah, I will be down at the Norwich show. And as I say, awesome, I said I was going to buy pints for people. I might just buy a crate. Just give you all a crate of beer. Be like, there you go. It's a thank you. So yeah, I really appreciate it. And the album, the EP is fucking sick. So
thank
that.
You, man. Thank you.
Right. I'm going to go make some
thank you.
Whatever the missus is watching. See you later.
Enjoy, man.
Peace.
Thanks for having us on.
Cheers. Thanks. Bye. Bye.